You probably remember at least one of the three separate thoughts from the Eighth Amendment. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. The question is, how do we get from that to a $1 million heart transplant operation for a convicted felon, courtesy of California taxpayers? That leap is why the robber from Los Angeles who got a new heart in early January made such big news last week. And it's the Eighth Amendment's final phrase, the prohibition against cruel and unusual punishment, that gets us there. Courts interpret that phrase to mean that prison officials must help sick inmates. That, in the words of the courts, prison officials can't show deliberate indifference to an inmate's serious medical needs. But exactly what constitutes a serious medical need and what deliberate indifference means is sometimes up for debate. One inmate in Iowa sued when he re-injured his wrist climbing into bed and blamed it on prison officials who kept him in the top bunk. But the court refused to interpret deliberate indifference so broadly. No doctor had ever suggested that he get the bottom half of the bed. That's not deliberate indifference. This all started back in 1976, after the Supreme Court decided a case involving an inmate who'd injured his back. The inmate claimed that he'd received inadequate medical care and that such inadequate care constituted cruel and unusual punishment. But the Supreme Court disagreed, citing the many times the inmate had visited the doctor after his injury. In that case, though, the justices gave fine examples of deliberate indifference, throwing away a prisoner's ear and stitching the stump, injecting a penicillin-allergic inmate with penicillin, forcing a prisoner to stand during leg surgery, those sorts of things, and all are real cases. As are cases involving inmates who claim they need surgery, even a transplant, but then, in the court's eyes at least, fail to back it up with medical proof. That's what many of the cases turn on, a lack of evidence. And others involve inmates who have not yet exhausted other measures. A man in a Michigan prison, for example, who argued that he needed hip replacement surgery for extraordinarily painful arthritis. The court decided that it's not deliberate indifference to a serious medical problem to keep him on painkillers and put off surgery for as long as possible. And the court noted, when it's an elective procedure, the cost of the operation can be a factor. In the case of the Los Angeles robber, newspapers reported, but for the $1 million surgery, he would have died. And over 75 years ago, the North Carolina Supreme Court explained why some were not shocked by the headline last week. It is but just that the public be required to care for the prisoner who cannot, by reason of the deprivation of his liberty, care for himself. Which makes a good deal of sense if it is true that the prisoner would have access to such health care outside prison. But in an age when medical care for poor and uninsured is famously spotty, last week's story raises a new conundrum for courts, whether, when it comes to such care, the needy are provided for only by reason of deprivation of their liberty. I'm Amy Guida.